Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man whose one testicle is growing its own testicle. It's Richard Herring! You're much better than last week's audience. We weren't on last week, so welcome. Well, so you're better, but you're better than the one last one we had as well. Well done, congratulations. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was chatting with the nerds on Mastodon who understand how it works and aren't overwhelmed by its un-user-friendliness. Have you tried? Fucking hell. Apparently I'm on there, but I don't know how I got on there. I don't know where I am or what to do. Anyway, they call it Rahalastapas. So I don't know if that's very exciting about Twitter. By the time this goes out in quite a few weeks, I don't know what the Twitter situation will be. As we're recording this, it's looking bleak for Twitter, I have to say. So I don't know if I will be on Mastodon. I did correctly predict, pretty almost to the day, the demise of Liz Truss weeks in advance. So let's say Elon Musk. By the time this goes out, Elon Musk will no longer be the CEO of Twitter. Fingers crossed. Though I was having an argument on Twitter with someone about... They said, I'd criticise Elon Musk. And then there's loads of guys who get upset if you criticise Elon Musk on Twitter, which is weird, isn't it? Sort of sucking up to billionaires. I don't know, in the hope he'll give you a blowjob or something. I don't know what's going on. And they said, you know, he's a billionaire and you're a comedian, supposedly. And I said, yeah, but, you know, my dad didn't own a comedy mine. You know, I started from... And then someone else told me that Elon Musk had grown up from nothing, had nothing, and didn't use any of his dad's money, and that I was posh because my dad was a headmaster. So apparently I'm more privileged than Elon Musk, so I'd like to apologise to Elon Musk if you are listening. But then I looked on Wikipedia, and it really looked like his dad did have an emerald mine. So I don't know. I don't know who to believe. And yes, I've been in for my yearly check. I don't know if people know about this, but I had testicular cancer last year. I don't like to talk about it. And I have to go. You're going every year and you have your blood test, and they gave me a scan and everything. Everything's pretty all right. I have a testosterone level of 14. Apparently that's out of 10 as well. So that is, you know, this one guy. Something's, you know, imagine how much testosterone I had when I had two. The only issue is that my left testicle, there's a cyst. If you read the book, this is a spoiler. There is a cyst growing on my remaining testicle, which was a bit scary when I discovered it. But apparently it's harmless. But it's growing, right? And it's now 3 centimetres long, which is almost as long as a testicle. So it feels like my testicle is either grown its own testicle, which I approve, I like, that's okay. We can both have one testicle each. Or maybe my testicle, maybe it's growing back. I mean, that's going to ruin the brand, isn't it? If another one grows, if I have two, what am I going to do? I've gone all in on being a monoball. So apparently it's okay. So I'm all right, apparently, so that's good. Anything else to tell you about? I think we'll move on. Old Richie Sunak is now the Prime Minister. Richie, old Richie Sunak, I call him. Apparently he's going to fix the economy. That was his first. Hopefully he's going to be able to track down whoever it was who broke it, though. So that's some hope. I hope he's got time. I hope he's got time to find out about that. That one's going to play well in December, isn't it? There'll be a different Prime Minister by then as well. Whenever this goes out. Anyway, look, we'll hold forth and get back. My guest, we've got a fantastic guest for you. My guest this week is probably best known for her appearance on the Prickles with Tickles show. Yeah. It's Sarah Keyworth, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. Sarah Keyworth. Hello, come in.
Hello there, how are you doing?
We're all good, I think. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, very good.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Prickles with Tickles show?
Oh, I do, yeah. Anyone else?
Fan? For me, fans? Nothing you've done has been as good as that. I was a fan in those days.
It was a big show of its time. Yeah, it was very successful.
Do you want to tell people
huge
what the Prickles
audience.
With Tickles show was?
It was a sketch show.
Yeah.
A comedy sketch show. Yeah. Bit sort of big cast hosted by Prickles the Beanie Baby, controlled by my older brother. When we were children.
And were you Tickles?
So Prickles had Tickles. I wasn't in it.
Oh, really?
No, I was an audience, only ever allowed to be an audience member, a very enthusiastic one.
Okay.
It was a great show. There was a sketch called SOS.
Okay.
And it was just like sort of multiple people suffering horrible accidents, falling in canyons. And then every time at the end of the sketch, my brother would go, "Luckily, no one was hurt." It could have been much, much worse. And we laughed. We
Good.
Did laugh.
How's your brother's comedy career going?
He's an archaeologist.
Oh, is he? Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Where does he work? I'm quite interested in archaeology. I might have him on as a guest. Where does he work?
He's just a sort of a commercial archaeology in Nottinghamshire, in the sort of Midlands area. Yeah. So it's I didn't even know this, but if any kind of big excavation goes on, he's the guy who has to come in and just check that there's nothing of cultural significance there. So basically, it's just pissing off builders all along the country.
Was he annoyed about Leicester getting the King Richard III? He must have been fucked off about
close. That was exciting for him because that happened whilst he was studying.
Oh, okay.
And one of his tutors was, I think, one of the guys who got him.
Mm.
Yeah, that they got him in the end.
One of the guys who's now being criticised in the Steve Coogan film, presumably.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they've made all the proper archaeologists look. I mean, I think they've all got twirly moustaches and top hats.
Yeah.
And then it's the normal woman who just guessed where King Richard III was in the car park. Yeah,
it's annoying. Anybody can dig up a car park, can't they?
They can.
It's a bit frustrating.
Anyone can see an R drawn on the floor and go, that's where he is then.
Yeah. A little crown poking out the ground. I used to live in Leicester, because I went to uni in Leicester, and I used to live next to that car park. So I've actually urinated on the King. You're a student and you're on your way home and you can't wait. So.
Wow, that is a claim to fame.
That is a claim to fame.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, you're quite young and you were born in like 1993 or something.
Yeah, sorry
That's
about
terrifying.
That.
Terrifying. And like you're a sentient grown human. It doesn't make any sense to me.
More or less.
And you grew up in Nottingham. Now, yes. My big thing about Nottingham was the best thing in Nottingham was the tales of Robin Hood. Were you... Are you
immersive old? Experience.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I went a lot.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Wasn't it?
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why aren't you furious that they closed it down and turned it into a Tesco?
No, I don't really... I think it really went to the dogs.
Do you?
Yeah, it sort of fell... Because I used to go as a teenager because it was free to go in.
Okay.
And we'd just go in and they'd be empty. It'd be really strange. And then I remember the Sheriff of Nottingham picked up my friend off the ground and had dangled her upside down. And I think that was probably when they shut it down.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least in character, that's the kind of thing he could
do. Yeah, he did, yeah, but she was sort of 14. And he shouldn't have done it.
He shouldn't have done it. Yeah. Well, you know, the Sheriff of Nottingham shouldn't have been nasty to Robin Hood, should
he? True, but this guy was an actor, so, you know.
He's just in his role.
Yeah, he's probably being paid minimum wage. Yeah. So he was kicked out immediately, and he shouldn't, yeah, it was a mistake.
Did you find it offensive when you went in to the Tales of Robin Hood and the first thing they said was, you're about to leave behind your humdrum life? When I went in, that's the first thing the voiceover says. You're about to leave behind your humdrum life.
That might have just been you, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think my
life. I don't think they said that to anyone.
I think
else.
My life's better than the Robin Hood experience.
Yeah,
I think my life's more exciting than that.
Well, have you seen the Robin Hood experience and having met you?
Yeah. This was me in the 1990s, actually. It was worse, actually, in the 1990s, I have to say. So there we go. Look, Sarah, you've been doing a lot of fantastic work. And I'm quite interested in this because the whole COVID thing, right? I was thinking as well as the many other victims of COVID, let's forget about them for the moment, as a comedian, I was thinking the kind of people who were looking forward to the 2020 Edinburgh Fringe and thinking, this is going to be the Fringe where, you know, my career massively takes off. You'd basically done the 2018, 2019, done really well with those two. And then heading to 2020 to consolidate that progress you'd made?
Yeah. I don't know if I was really thinking about it as like it was going to be a big year for me.
Right.
But I did want to at least make some money that year, and that didn't happen. So, but yeah, that was a shame that that got cancelled. But I didn't have sort of any massive. I had a small plan. Like it was actually quite a big plan for the show that year because I had a bet with my friend where I was going to get carried on stage every day by a wrestler.
Okay.
So that didn't happen. But yeah, that was a disappointment.
But you did.
It's not the worst thing that happened.
Not
that
the
year,
worst
is
thing,
it? Yeah.
But it's sort of. I mean, it's interesting in terms of because it suddenly is like a year or 2 years sort of where not everything quite shut down, but where you know you're rolling along and then there's this dip and then you have to pick yourself up again, I guess, afterwards.
Yeah, I will have to pick myself up at some point, I think. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll get there eventually. Yeah, I mean, I think. It knocked us all out a little bit, and I think I was on a bit of a treadmill with comedy where I was like, I just do the next thing, and it has taken me a bit of time to work out how to kind of like figure out what I'm doing again now.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting there.
Yeah.
They're laughing, so I think somebody like booed. That's a good sign.
Well, it did change. I mean, a lot of things changed. So you were going to do quite a knockabout fun show, having done some quite serious shows about gender identity. And
the plan was to do a silly show.
Do a silly show.
Get carried on stage by a wrestler, and the show was going to be called Lil Key's Big Jokes, and it was just going to be daft. It's going to be the daftest show we could possibly create.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. And then my third show, what I eventually did this year, was really fucking miserable, actually. It was a miserable show. It was a good laugh, but it wasn't a fun show. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting that it changed direction for you, you know. That again, partly COVID, but personal things happened in your life, and you lost a good friend and the director of your show, Paul Byrne.
Yeah, so he was the one I told I was going to. He was the one who wanted to get me carried on stage every day by a wrestler, and so I talk about that on stage, and I say I made him this promise that I was going to do that, and obviously. Now that, because I talk about him passing away because he died in February in the show and my experience with grief and things like that. I told you it was miserable. And and so I say in the show, you know, it's oh, bless you.
He's allergic to seriousness, that.
Yeah. Well, strap in. Get yourself a Pyriton because we're going for it. But I did say in the show, you know, getting carried on stage every day by a wrestler when your life is going well is a lovely bit of fun, but getting carried on stage every day by a wrestler when your life is falling apart is a distress flare in the sky. It's not quite the same. I come out crying. It looks like I've paid a big, strong man just to hold me. So she just needs somebody with her the whole time. So.
I would pay to see that show, I have to say. So hopefully it's in there. But you did do a Radio 4 show during lockdown, right? Which I've listened to. Are You a Boy or a Girl?
Yes.
Which I listened to this morning, and it's, you know, it's nice for 15-minute episodes.
Yes. Yeah. And that was really good fun because we did it in the BBC Radio Theatre.
Yeah.
But we did it with an audience on Zoom.
Yeah.
So I stood in an empty room, and then we had live reactions from the, like, they could see me and I could hear them, and there was like only like a split second of a delay, so it was like doing a real gig, but they weren't there, which was really, it was very strange.
Yeah.
But good experience.
Yeah. And so what were you attempting to achieve with this show, Are You a Boy or a Girl? It was quite an ambitious show for four 15-minute parts.
I wanted it to be the show that somebody who is struggling with their gender identity could play to, like, their nan.
Yeah.
And be like, this is kind of what I'm going through. So very sort of entry-level explanation as to what it is to be, like, queer or non-binary or not necessarily identify with the gender that people have been telling you you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So it was very light-hearted and like fun,
yeah,
and just very personal about my experience. I'm trying to write a second series of it now, and let me tell you, in those the 2 years since we recorded that one, the conversation has really kicked off. people are more angry about it now, so I think the second series is going to have to be slightly more serious. Bless you. but we'll figure it out. But yes, in the 2 years, I think around mid 2020 was when She Who Shall Not Be Named started sort of popping off on Twitter about trans people.
Sure.
And she really sort of lit the fire under the horrible debate about it now. So yeah, it has. The world has changed quite significantly since I recorded that first series of that podcast.
Sure.
That radio show. It's going to have to be... I can't make silly jokes about fannies anymore. I'm going to have to say something fucking smart, so I'll dig deep. If you've got anything...
Let
me know.
I haven't got much. The only time I've entered this debate was to say... Surely we should just call people whatever they want to be called. It's polite. That was my tweet.
Richard, you can't say that.
It took about 20 minutes for someone to accuse me of wanting to go into a change room to look at teenage girls changing as a result of that, so...
You're a rapist. You are.
I'm keeping stum about it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say a thing about it.
I know Twitter is falling apart at the moment, but I don't think it's the best place for reasoned conversation. Is that a hot take? Should we call that? I've been taught my lesson about trying to, which is why having an opportunity to do things like a radio show and things like that is so lovely, is because you get to, nobody can interrupt me when I'm doing a radio show. I just get to say what I want to say and then put it out, and then the people who want to hear it can listen to it, and the people who don't want to hear it can listen to it, and then they can tweet me.
But I think, as you say in the show, I mean, which I was sort of surprised, because you grew up in the 1990s and the early 2000s, and so you would kind of hope this wasn't true, but obviously it was true, that there were the on the media there wasn't anyone you could really identify with as a kid that felt like you on TV.
I say in the radio show that when I was a kid, the only lesbian I knew of was Jo Brand, and she's not a lesbian, so she just had the haircut. So I didn't know about anybody at all. Like, I had no, there was no, and I kind of, I missed the whole sort of Ellen DeGeneres thing. I wasn't really in touch with what was going on in America and stuff. So
yeah.
I didn't tune into any of it. I felt very, very isolated and alone when I was a teenager. And obviously teenagers now, like, with the positive thing about social media is that you can live in the smallest town in the smallest place, and you can find your community online. I could have gone online and Googled queer people or masculine women or whatever and seen these pictures and videos and podcasts of people talking about those experiences, whereas I had no idea. I thought I was the only gay person in the world, living in Nottingham. Yeah. And I was like, well, you're just going to have to dig deep and pretend this isn't happening. And it's really nice to just be able to like counteract that in some way and be a part of, you know, positive, getting messages from people saying like, this radio show has been really influential to me and I've come out to my family, or I've played it to my mom, or I've played it to my grandma, and it's been really useful. It's so nice. And if I'd had that when I was younger, it would have cleared up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time I heard about, I think the first time I sort of saw like a gay storyline on anything was probably Sonia's kiss on EastEnders. And that didn't go well. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but it was not well received for her. I think she was called some names.
Right.
So I wasn't sort of sat watching EastEnders with my mum thinking, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think things have moved on in the comedy world, at least. You know, it does feel like that now, that, you know, we're getting a certain, like, female voices, which is like ridiculous. But like when I was starting in the 1990s, there would have been, you know, Jo Brand and a few other women. Yeah. And now it feels like there's a much broader range of types of people and types of experience. And
yes.
And it's a welcoming environment, hopefully, mainly. Now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. I think that there's some forces trying to drag us back a little bit at the moment. I think there's some stuff online where people are trying to kind of... That's the flip side of the internet, is that anybody can say anything about anything. But the comedy industry is definitely better. But it's weird. I've said this before on other things, but like when I started doing stand-up, I identified as a lesbian comedian. I don't necessarily identify with being female in any way, but I was like, I'm a lesbian comedian, and I thought that a lot of the sort of legwork of gay rights and things like that and being representing lesbians had been done. You know, I was coming like hot off the heels of Susie Ruffle, Jen Brister, Zoe Lyons. They were all working, and I didn't feel like I was being particularly groundbreaking in being a lesbian comedian. Whereas now I'm a non-binary comedian, and I'm having to do a bit of fucking introducing myself to people, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be a sort of a leader or anything like that. I just wanted to come out and tell some jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm having to kind of be one of the first to come out and say, yeah, this is who I am and this is how I identify, which is really fucking annoying.
But I think, you know, it is important to do it. And, you know, as you realise, for people come, you know, I think a lot of younger people do listen to comedy and are really into comedy. I think it's so helpful when that sort of thing is put out there. But I think exactly what is great about the Radio 4 show is exactly that it's that you could play it to your nan, and that it hopefully explains some of it. Because I think most people are just sort of confused. Older people, I think, which maybe I'm one, are just confused by things changing. They don't like the change.
It's very confusing, and I say this in the radio show. It's so confusing. If you spend your entire life being told, you know, that this is men are men and women are women, and you grow up and those are the ideals that you've been brought up, and then somebody turns around and goes, actually, the information that you've been given your entire life is not true, and if you don't understand that immediately, you're a bigot. That's not going to get a positive response from anybody. No. So I say, you know, it is confusing. I don't think we should expect anybody to get, you know, to get it straight away. But just being open-minded to having a conversation about it rather than going, well, that's a load of snowflakey nonsense, that's not helpful in any way.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer that comedy is just such a massive, it's such a useful tool for gently educating people. So I'm like, if I could be making people laugh and they go, oh, that's kind of interesting, that's easier and more manageable than just sending somebody a long read and being like, check this out, and then understand me, please.
Yeah, I think it's true. And I think, but it's also just, if you know, people don't, I think people live in their little bubbles and they've not necessarily met anybody from that community. Yeah. And so just by having someone there going, oh, okay, this is a regular person. And what I think is interesting about that, the Radio 4 thing as well, is, you know, you're talking about your experiences being a teenager and being confused and lonely and not feeling like you're not fitting in. But, you know, most people will identify with that.
Not men.
From some degree.
Men never feel that way.
No, okay.
Yeah. Boys don't. Boys just feel happy the whole time, and then they're happy men.
Yeah, that's me, obviously.
Men, but... yeah, men never feel sad, do they? That's what I've heard. That's why I want to be one. Chasing the happiness.
Look, let's. I've loved you on Roast Battle, and I know the relationship you had on Roast Battle is now broken up.
Yeah.
But you did a very funny thing on Roast Battle.
Yeah, it's awkward now, isn't it? Though
it is a bit awkward.
It's awkward now. Yeah, because at the time it was a joke. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, that was I went on a Roast Battle in 2016,
right,
with my partner at the time, who's also a comedian, and we did plan it together.
So
she did know it was going to happen. Okay. It was because some people are like genuinely shocked by the brutality of it.
It's well acted, though.
She acted it incredibly well, and I think she was mildly offended that people didn't know she was acting. She wanted people to know that she was such a good actor that she sort of wanted to tweet, like, this is my show, put it on a show reel or something like that. But I at the end, I did a fake proposal, sort of did a big long speech about queer representation and how special it is that, you know, I know this is a roast show, but it's really special that two queer women can be on TV at the same time. And then I got down on one knee and said, I will never marry you. This is a roast show. It was funny. People laughed. you're feeling the awkwardness now as well. But it was planned together. So yeah. She did know what was going to happen. But that was a good. That was my first television experience.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. And that did kind of do the rounds online. Still does the rounds online.
Yeah, it's a really good bit of TV. I mean, I was on Roast Battle, and you know, it's sort of a weird show because there is an element of subterfusion, you know, you've checked with each other whether you're sort of happy with
some stuff. People didn't. That's the crazy thing about that show is that there are some roasts where they just went off and wrote their own stuff.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, I was literally sat next to my partner writing them at the table. And so we were like, well, let's just plan it, like choreograph it. Like,
yeah.
Let's put two minds on this and write a great roast, which I think made it more fun as well because everything we said was consensual and I found it funny and she found it funny, whereas some of them you watch them and you're like, I don't know if anybody's having a good time.
Yeah, well, it's finished now.
Yeah, it is finished.
Yeah. And you've done a lot of the TV things. So were you on the last ever Mock the Week, or you were on one of the later, the last series?
I was
series
in the last series, yeah. I did it last November, I think, yeah.
Yeah, how do you... I was watching the best of it, and I think you cropped up on that, and it was...
Oh.
It was, you know, I haven't watched Mock the Week for ages, and it was really, I mean, it was the best of, but it was really funny.
This was good, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It was a good show.
I
think
it was, especially when it started getting newer, I think, like, it got a bit stultified, and then they started bringing on newer comedians, it completely changed, it sort of, the tone of it changed quite a lot.
It's a real shame, because some of the best bits of that show were the sort of stand-up-y bits, think. Like, this panel show format is done in quite a lot of different places, but the actual platform for stand-up, there's not many platforms for UK stand-ups on television. There's Live at the Apollo, and then there's those 2-minute bits on Mock the Week, and when we get occasional shows and things. But, yeah, I thought it was cool. And the nice thing is that they let the new people do the stand-up, so that was my one and only appearance on Mock the Week, and they let me do the 2 minutes of stand-up, which meant that people actually, I definitely got some airtime.
Yes, yeah.
But it was, it was great.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
It was very funny. I watched it. Was that the stand-up about? You have a very good joke about your parents being married for 40 years.
Yeah. And I talk about my mum's boobs.
Yeah, your mum's boobs. That's very good.
You'll relate to.
Yeah. I don't think we can really...
It's a cancer joke.
I don't think you can compare breasts, but I don't think a breast is anywhere near as important as a testicle.
Okay, well, this is interesting. This is the new what's being more painful, being kicked in the balls or having a baby argument.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think, honestly, losing a testicle, if you have to get cancer... Get some testicles and then get it in your
testicle. Drop a testicle, did you say?
Yeah,
I guess you can't. But the only thing is, she could have a reconstructed breast, whereas I guess you can't have a reconstructed testicle.
They offer you a prosthetic.
Do they?
Yeah. But,
God, you didn't go for it.
I didn't. I'm proud of what I am.
Yeah. Do you feel slightly off balance?
It's settled in the middle, so I'm...
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
This is a real education for me, because I would never have guessed that. I figured it would have just hung by itself.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. My mum...
Did your mum settle in the middle?
Well, no, because she had one built, but so that probably kept it. But I imagine it would have migrated over
eventually.
My mum called me today and said, I hear you're doing a show with Richard Herring tonight. She said, I heard him on the radio the other day talking about his book and his balls. So she'll be pleased to get a little look in today. I had a joke about my parents were married for probably nearing 50 years.
Right.
Because that's how time works, isn't it?
It is. It
keeps going. But yeah, they've been married a very long time.
It is, but it's. Yeah. I think you're right. You sort of argue that the secret of a long marriage is for one of the people to give in.
The weakest one must give up.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's.
I think it's very true.
I think so. You have to. You can't have two opinions in one place. So somebody's got to back down eventually. If you want to be together for that long, I think. And my dad, I think my dad has kind of tapped out. You know.
Yeah.
He's walking around and he's talking, but he's gone.
It's usually the dad. I think it will be. I've only been married for 10 years, and you're still. Both fighting your corner at 10 years.
Yeah.
I think within another two or three, I'll give in.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it's leaving you, actually.
It's just easier.
One testicle's already given up.
Just bit by bit, I'm escaping.
It's all dropping off. Yeah.
This could have been a way to escape from a prisoner of war camp, when it just bit by bit, one bollocks out, and then...
Yeah, like the hands of the Adams family just...
Eventually, all gets posted home, put back together again. Let me ask you some emergency questions to get us off cancer. I've written a new emergency question, and it doesn't matter if you've got a good answer to it, because the question is so funny. But if you have got a good question to answer to it, that will be good. As a child, I worried about doing stuff like picking my nose and playing with myself in case I was to grow up to be a hugely important historical figure. And time-travelling tourists might come back to see my childhood to find out what I was like. Not as funny as I thought it was going to be. What was the most ridiculous/narcissistic thing you believed of yourself as a child?
This is not necessarily something I believe, but in terms of narcissism, I've had times where it sounds quite dark, but I do think I've tried to do stand-up about this and it's never worked, but I do think it's quite funny, is that I have had times in my life when I felt very sad and very depressed, but this is the sort of thing, I think I'm a sort of very depressive narcissist, and there have been times when I've thought, like, you know, maybe I want to, you know, end it all, and then I've thought, is there any way I can do stand-up at my own funeral? Can I pre-record it anyway? Because I don't like the idea of other people getting to talk, you know. And what a gig it would be. It'd be a great crowd, wouldn't it?
It would be
the gig of my life. Well, not, but I think, yeah, they'd be on side for that last show. It'd just be a shame that I couldn't be there. The drinks afterwards and everything.
I bet someone has recorded something, and I bet it was a stand-up comedian. Who will have done it. It is a good idea. I mean, you said, and this is sort of does go back to what we were just saying, but you said in the Guardian interview, I think, when bad things happen, there's a lot of comedy if you look in the right places. So
it's, definitely.
So, you know, I think
yeah,
it's...
I mean, my friend Paul Byrne,
yeah.
He was cremated, and when his body was cremated, he got to choose the song, and he chose Burn Baby Burn, Disco Inferno. So. Yeah. It's just incredible. It's amazing. And it's a pun as well, because his name's Burn. So
it's
two jokes in one.
It is.
He really went out swinging, which is very, very... And the laughter in that crematorium was unbelievable. It was very, very funny. So I do think it's ample opportunity for jokes.
Yeah. Well, I think a funeral, but that it is that mix. You know, a funeral is that, you know, you want to be able to laugh. And funny things do happen at funerals and people do laugh.
Yeah.
Sometimes inadvertently, sometimes planned. But it's you know, it's necessary, isn't it, to be able to...
Well, I'm trying to write about this at the moment because my mum and dad have been together for a very long time. So they got married in their early 20s, but then they didn't have me and my brother till they were like in their 40s.
Oh, really? Right.
So all of my aunts and uncles, my dad is the youngest of five, all of my aunts and uncles are sort of elderly now.
Yeah.
And we, two of my uncles died in the same week.
Right.
Just before the Edinburgh Fringe. It was a duel. And And it's really, and we're all very sad about it, but I also think it's quite funny in that we went to the same crematorium twice in two. When we left the first funeral, the woman at the crematorium said, "See you soon." And she was right. We were going back, and you're starting to think, you know, my dad asked if they do loyalty cards. It's that sort of thing where you're like, this is ridiculous, and we are going to keep having to come back and do this, and we might as well laugh about the absurdity of the situation.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just fucking shit. So
I think so, but also, you know, presumably that's helpful if you are having those dark thoughts about yourself, and then you manage to find some humour in that. Hopefully that will help you move away from the dark thoughts, right?
I mean, it's very comforting that I think so highly of myself that I, you know, that I think it would be such a shame to not be at that party that I then don't kill myself.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like I'm merely misrepresenting myself right now.
You could just do the funeral before you could. You could kill yourself at the end of the funeral.
I could.
You could be alive in the coffin and then go into the crematorium
and then
alive.
You have to promise me you won't do a second funeral.
Just die at the funeral, and so then they can bury you.
Yeah.
Or they could just bury you alive.
This is true.
Yeah. And then everyone's happy.
I think we lost them at that point.
Okay, maybe.
Just heard one person go, "Oh no."
I'm just trying to help, for God's sake. I'm just trying to help this person achieve their ambition. That's so bad.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, I'll ask another emergency question. Let's see if this one goes dark as well. And this one's got to be fine.
I'll try and keep it light.
This one's got to be fine. What's the worst cheese that you'd still be prepared to eat? Do you like cheese? Do you eat cheese?
A lot of cheese, yeah. Okay. I've recently got back into Baby Bells.
Okay.
And I've just been in Paris, and obviously France, famed for its cheese. And I bought, the only cheese I bought was one of those fuck-off massive Baby Bells. Just ate it on a street corner.
I haven't seen them. Was there a full, how big's a big Baby
Bell? Hold on, I'll put this,
Right, okay, so it's a sort of size of
my
testicle before it got taken out.
Was it that big?
No,
okay.
It was 6 centimetres long. So it was probably that high.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, so yeah.
So but yeah, about
a swollen testicle's
worth
of cheese.
One cancerous testicle worth of Baby Bell. In fact, maybe I should have wrapped it in wax.
That would have been great.
Would have been nice.
That is one of my favourite bits, the unwrapping. Yeah. We do that pre-surgery.
So you unwrapped it and just ate it, a large Baby Bell, tennis ball-sized Baby Bell, let's say, in one sitting?
No.
Two
sitting.
Did you have some bread with it, or did you just eat it like an apple?
Oh, I unwrapped it and sort of ate it like a sandwich, you know, like when you've got half in foil. My girlfriend was there as well, and she helped. We ate it together. There's a picture on my Instagram, actually, of the two of us with it.
It's much more romantic now. So I just didn't like the idea of you eating a giant Baby Bell on your own.
She ate one half and I ate the other, and we met in the middle. But I've also, I've recently, my girlfriend is a celiac. Okay. And so the usual snacks that I would be my go-tos have all changed in the last couple of years. So I've also found myself eating a cheese string every now and again. Okay, somebody just gasped at that, which I would argue is probably one of the worst cheeses.
I think it is.
It's more of a toy, isn't it, a cheese string?
Have you ever eaten a cheese string without pulling the string off? Have you ever just eaten it? As a piece of cheese.
Yeah, I have,
yeah. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
It's really fucked up.
It is. Because it's actually really good fun to peel the cheese off, and that is worth doing. But if you just eat it like a blob of cheese...
That's the only selling point of that cheese, actually, I think. If you eat it like... If you just eat it like cheese, it's not cheese, I don't think. It's plastic.
Yeah. Good, but you'd eat one of those, so that's the answer to the question. Good. That's good. That's a good answer.
I'd eat one right now.
You won't have an answer for this. This is a terrible question, but this is another one from my personal... They're all from my personal experience. I lost my glasses for 10 months and then found them on my tiny bedside table, which is weird because it's right by my bed. My wife had found them in the bed and then put them there. That's
in the bed?
Yeah, they were inside underneath the bed, like they got between the mattress. Okay. What's the weirdest way that you have found something that you thought was lost? Absolutely impossible question.
I'm not sure. In terms of losing glasses, I put things down in the flat and then but I don't remember them.
Yeah.
I block it out in my head. And I've got a real habit of when I go and wash my face in the bathroom, I put my glasses on a bag of sanitary towels.
Okay.
And then I lose my glasses for about a day. And my girlfriend now knows to go and check the sanitary towel bag to see whether or not my glasses are in there. And usually they are.
Just full of glasses.
But we had a real glasses loss mystery the other day.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell this and I don't think it's going to be a good story. So I'll just say that in advance.
Okay. I mean, it's unlikely that this question would lead somewhere. So I'm really impressed we've got more than a second of conversation.
I might actually deliver it like a mystery and then see if anybody can guess what happened. So we went out for a walk and my girlfriend left her phone and her glasses on top of a notebook on our table. And when we came back, the glasses were gone.
I mean, that wasn't that unexpected, given the build-up to the story. Someone's very invested in this.
Yeah, and we couldn't find them anywhere at all. We went for a walk. She wore her prescription sunglasses on this walk, and then she needed them when we got back, and we couldn't find them, and we searched the whole flat. We were looking everywhere, and we couldn't find them at all. To the point where I was starting to think that somebody had broken into the flat, taken just her glasses, and then left again.
Yeah.
Can anybody hazard a guess as what had happened? They weren't on her head.
Do you have a pet of some kind?
No, we don't have a pet. Yes.
The phone vibrated,
and it vibrated them off the table and under the sofa. And unfortunately, my girlfriend had been the one to check under the sofa, and she wasn't wearing her glasses. So about an hour and a half later, I checked under the sofa, and there they were.
Wow, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the moment, she said to me, because she hadn't told me that they were on the notebook. She hadn't told me where they were.
Yeah.
The moment she said they were next to my phone,
yeah,
I went, they've been vibrated off the table.
Wow. That is like Hercule Poirot level stuff, that is.
It is.
Just to get that. So
I made everyone gather in the same room.
All right. I'll go classic emergency question. Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, I don't think so.
Could have been the glasses.
Yeah.
So did you consider a ghost before you thought about the phone going? That a ghost had probably taken the glasses?
I'm ashamed to say it crossed my mind. Because you don't... I don't really believe in ghosts, but then...
No, they're not real.
But I think there might be somebody living in my wall or something.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Because there's a cigarette smell that keeps wafting through my spare room.
This sounds like a ghost.
And I can't work out the source.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the point where, because I've started asking my neighbours if anybody smokes, and they're all, the likelihood is that they're lying. But I have gotten to the point of sort of strange, this would be like a film about somebody descending into madness, where I've started to think that maybe somebody is living in the walls.
Yeah. Does happen.
It's not an answer to your question, but it is.
No, it is. I think you've got a ghost. I think you've never seen a ghost, but there's only one explanation for that, and it's There is definitely a ghost.
I think so.
So that there you go.
Thanks for believing me.
You have a podcast. I don't know if you're still doing it. The last one was just before Edinburgh, called Thank Fuck for That.
Yes.
Is that still going
on? Yes, we started it back up.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's you and...
Mickey Overman.
Yeah, who's a Dutch comedian, right?
Yes, very funny.
Yeah. No, I like her. She does very funny things on social media.
Yeah, she does. She does great videos. They're very intelligent, and I think they're very impressive.
Good.
Especially because I don't do anything like that.
Okay. Mm. I was interested, the image you've used for your podcast is a parody of the Sliding Doors poster with you on the top and Mickey on the... What made you choose the Sliding Doors poster?
So the podcast is called Thank Fuck for That, and we ask people about like near miss, sort of near death experiences, okay. And then we also ask them for a Sliding Doors moment.
Okay.
But it just got started because we both like the film Sliding Doors.
Do you like it?
But I've watched it recently and it's not aged well. Is there a running joke about Sliding Doors in this podcast? Because there's somebody laughing very knowingly.
I don't really like Sliding Doors very much.
You don't like the film?
Yes, I would say that I don't like the entire film.
I think it's a good concept, and now I think it has been executed incredibly badly. And I think it's really telling that my resounding memory from it is that in one of them she gets a bad haircut,
yeah,
and in the other one she has bad hair, and it's sort of about two timelines in which one woman needs a new hairdresser.
That would be a more interesting film.
Yeah, It felt like now I did watch it again recently before we did this podcast.
Yeah.
And I was really excited and I made my partner watch it because she'd never seen it. And I was like, it's a brilliant film. It's such a clever idea. And then we sat down and watched it and I was like, this is such a clever idea that has been handled so wrong in every way.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right.
Is it a can of worms to ask you what makes you feel the way you feel?
I mean, all of it. It's just hard. I mean, the people in the room have heard all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, my most recent observation about it is that the thing that changes her destiny is not the sliding doors of the train. She comes down the stairs, and in one reality, a girl drops a doll, and she has to go round the girl, and that's why she misses the train. And in the other reality, she doesn't.
The child
yanked
out the way.
So it should be called
child
dropping a doll.
Yeah.
Should be, it's a child dropping a doll moment.
Should
isn't it?
Be called Move Your Fucking Kids.
So that's just the start.
A little less poetic though, isn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, and if one thing changed in the universe, if we changed one thing now between here and now, everything would change. But in this universe, even though John Hannah's on the train with her, he still turns up at the bar exactly the same time in both realities. His whole reality would have changed as a result of her being on the train or not being on the train. So he wouldn't arrive at the bar at the exact same moment with the exact same conversation. His life has already changed.
It's just a bit of fun, though, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah,
that's
the thing. Also, It's not a bit of fun. There's
fun
no fun in there.
It's nice to sort of speculate about these things, isn't
what
it?
About,
you know, when you stay with your partner, you go, oh, you know, if we hadn't met when we met, do you think we'd have found each other in a different way?
You wouldn't have done.
No, we might have done.
No, you wouldn't.
We might have done. Might have
change
done.
One thing, everything changes. Life is very, very random.
What if you change one thing and everything changes, but that happens to mean that, like, because, you know, my partner and I have been friends for 10 years, but if we didn't meet in the way we met 10 years ago, what's to say that changes everything, that we didn't or happen to both be in Barcelona at some point?
Yeah, you might
have never been to Barcelona. You know, you change everything. She's never been to Barcelona. What if it means that in our lifetime we ended up in Barcelona at the same time, we happened to fall in love there?
Yeah, that could have happened.
Thank you. I get this podcast now? Is that how it works?
Yeah. In an infinite universe, you know, you'll get together your partner infinite times in infinite different places.
Yeah.
But equally, you'll get together with everybody else in the entire world.
So be warned.
Including loads of people who didn't get born. Because, like, even if, you know...
Not everyone.
No, because, you know, if your parents didn't have sex at the exact moment they had sex and the sperm that created you didn't get through out the 600 million sperm, you'd be a different person.
Yeah, but don't you think that's fascinating?
I do. That's what I'd like to see explored in Sliding Doors.
Yeah.
So completely different.
Long film, though, isn't it?
And Ed need to go close up on the spunk as well. It'd be John Hannah's spunk.
Yeah.
Going into Gwyneth Paltrow's John lovely Han's smelling spunk. Vagina.
Yeah. Shouting, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Yeah.
I mean, that's my problem. My main problem is I don't think any woman in the history of the world has got off with a man who's just quoted no one expects the Spanish Inquisition of them.
Her whole life has fallen apart. Like, you have to understand that. She's not sort of a sound mind in that moment. Okay. She had a really bad haircut.
I have been unfair to Joey from Bread. Okay, that's fine. It's good. I listened a bit of the podcast and I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, think again about your pictorial choices and your life.
I thought you were going to ask me why Mickey was on the bottom and I was on the top.
Yeah, why is Mickey on the bottom and you're on the top?
She made the picture. And she put me on top.
That's nice.
Yeah. I think it was a politeness thing. I think if I'd made the picture, I'd have put her on top.
Okay.
Is that not a Sliding Doors moment? Would that have changed everything, do you think?
You could just turn the picture the other way up.
But then the writing would be the wrong way.
There's probably some... A graphic design expert could probably find some way around that.
Yeah, no, I reckon so. but I don't think Mickey's a graphic design expert.
Okay, let's leave it the way it is.
Yeah, we will.
Why don't we have two universes? If we could just split the universe and I could show you how things would change. If we could split it and one universe it's the right way up and the other way it's the wrong way up.
Yeah.
And then you would see what an effect.
Well, that's
you
a movie we
world.
Should make, shouldn't we? That'd be a good one. In a different universe, there'd be a different podcaster slagging off our logo alternative reality film.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference. It'd all be the same. All right, I'm going to go back to emergency questions. No, it's a good idea.
Have we had a row now?
I think we've fallen out. If you were going to be put in a human centipede... But the person who was doing it was nice and said, I'll let you choose who's... you're in the middle. I'll let you choose who's on either end.
Do you think that's nice?
I think it's nicer than not letting you choose, isn't it?
I don't think I'd want the choice.
Okay.
If it's going to happen, just send anyone in.
Okay.
Because then it's weird, isn't it? Like, if I pick a mate, we're not going to be friends after that, are we?
No.
So I could choose anyone.
You can choose anyone. One's in front, and one's behind. So one, you're attached to, your mouth's attached to their anus, and then someone behind you.
I presume most people, when answering this question, try and think of the person who would have the most, the cleanest, most nutritious shit.
They do. A lot of people do think about that. Who would that person be for you? Because you know, I think all shit's pretty horrible.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I've had good shit. I'm trying to remember when the best shit I've eaten is.
It's a real Sliding Doors moment, this.
It is a Sliding Doors moment. I don't know. What have you eaten today?
I definitely wouldn't put me anywhere. You don't know it's awful what's coming out of me.
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because you want to pick somebody clean, very relatively sort of clean eating in front of you. But then you can pick the worst person in the world. You can pick an enemy.
Exactly.
But would you want your enemy's mouth on your anus?
Yeah.
That
really would. That'd be exciting. Well, I'd like anyone's mouth on my anus at my age.
Yeah. And nobody's.
I'd like anybody's mouth on my anus. No one's. I'm 55. No one's getting close to that anymore.
You don't want it sewn on, though, do you?
Well, it's something. It's some human contact.
Well, okay. Well, if you put it like that, I suppose, I don't know, because what you're thinking about is in terms of like quality. It's nice to just spend time with people, isn't it? Yes. I don't know, maybe a friend of mine I haven't seen in a few years or something. I got a mate that's living in Australia. So
yeah.
Perhaps she's shit in my mouth.
Are you just thinking in a way of saving some airfare to meet up? It's like surprise, surprise. But
yeah.
Well, you know, we haven't seen each other in a while. You can, the scientists will fly you over. There's one little catch.
It's a good excuse to spend some time together.
But we will be together. For free, we'll be together. Just the idea of, oh, but you know, come on over.
yeah, you will have your mouth touched my anus.
Yes, mean you're this not coming? Is a great idea. Yeah. Also, because I know lots of people who, when they do sort of long haul flights or go to different places, they don't shit for a few days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right.
Get them up front.
I'll choose my friend who lives in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoping they'll be... Have,
and it'd be lovely
be
to see them.
Yeah. To see them.
Yeah, ideally my constipated... My friend who's been on a long-haul flight who's only eaten the sort of horrible aeroplane food and things like that. Because also, you know, what really is that? That'll probably be still intact by the time it gets to me. Now you're disgusted.
I think at worst it'll just be like eating a cheese string that you haven't pulled the strings
off. Yes, yes. That's true. And then,
do you think you'd be able to... If your mouth was sewn to your friend's anus... They'd obviously be able to talk because their mouth is through it. Do you think you'd be able to communicate? And do you think maybe that... Because I don't know whether you'd be able... It's hard to know, isn't it? But maybe just by...
They'd
the
hear
vibrations
it.
Would be enough to... Because, you know, like, if you put your fingers in your ear and talk, you can still hear yourself.
Like you're underwater, yeah. So do you think you're suggesting that they would be able to hear or sort of intuit what I'm saying...
I think it might just be like
through the vibrations up their anal cavity.
Yeah, I think it might be like two tins with a string in between.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be. Yeah, I imagine so.
We've never gone this deep into this question before. I have to say.
Well, we have gone
mostly very deep. Most people just
pick a couple of names
and move on as quickly as possible. But it's much better by
how
by
long
doing...
are you sewn in for? Or is it?
I mean, I think it's till death or rescue.
Oh right, okay.
You know, I don't think. I mean, right. I don't know because you've still got your. I mean, I've never seen the film. It sounds disgusting to me.
No, it doesn't appeal to me.
It
does sound unpleasant. Yeah.
It is a very unpleasant idea. I wouldn't even like to talk about it, let alone watch.
Yeah.
But. If you got your arms, you got your hands free, presumably, you could just get some scissors and cut a bit of...
I can't imagine that.
If you had to free your mouth from the anus of your friend, would you cut off your lips or would you cut off their anus?
Well, I'd obviously cut off their anus.
Okay, yeah.
But then again, that's rude, isn't it? They've travelled all this way. I don't know, mate. It's maybe did one of each. No, because then I'd still be...
Half an anus and half a lip. So you could have one a lower lip and a top lips and anus.
But then do I have to live the rest of my life with their anus on my lips?
I mean, that possibly, but probably the hospital would sort that out.
Oh, okay.
If you escape, you know. You know, it's a hypothetical question in some way.
But it is worth thinking about.
It's
good to have a plan.
It's worth working out what you're going to do. I've got another emergency question for you. Doing well. If you could go into a chrysalis... dissolve and come out as anything. That's what a caterpillar does when it comes out as a butterfly.
Does it dissolve?
I'm letting you... Yeah.
No.
Didn't you even know that?
Dissolves?
Well, that's what Jos Norris told me and I believed him. It dissolves, but it still remembers everything that it did as a caterpillar, but then it turns into a butterfly. Doesn't really... That bit isn't important. If you could go into a chrysalis and come out as anything, what would you come out as?
Your lost testicle. I'd be very famous. I don't know.
No.
That's a good question.
It is, isn't it?
If I could be anything in the whole world.
It could be anything. It could be you just transformed. It could be it could be a different thing than you. I'm just trying to get into your head and find out what's going on.
I'd be one of those... there was a video of a guy at a baseball game and so they let go of the bat and it flies into the audience and he's so fucking masculine that he... pushes his arm out and stops it from hitting his son just with his arm.
Yeah.
I'd be that guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the kind of masculine I want to be.
Okay.
And then I want to be that guy specifically who has that video because then I just show that at like every funeral.
Yeah, and at your funeral, people could throw bats at the
my children.
Coffin.
Yeah.
You could try and catch them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Out of all the things you could have picked in the world, what an interesting thing to
choose. I don't know why I thought about that.
Yeah, that's not
correct as well. That's not true.
No.
You know, like if you gave me a chance to think about it differently, I wouldn't. I don't even know that man.
See, what's interesting is that what comes up straight away.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea about masculinity. I mean, how many men really like that? I'm fascinated by the concept, by these concepts that all this throws up, right, and that spectrum of
of gender and...
A psychiatrist could do something with that, I think.
Yeah,
I'd like to be... I'd like to have, like, good, like, instincts.
Yeah.
I don't think I have good instincts. Like, if something...
Yeah, but I'm a man
something
and
goes wrong quickly...
I don't have good instincts. I'm not.
No, but that's why I want to be that one.
I know,
that's
yeah,
not why I said I want to be you.
Like, I know. But yeah. I'm still technically, even though I've only got one bollock, I'm still technically a male.
Yeah, I am finding you more attractive these days.
Thank you. It's just
50%
just
more.
Just working my. I figure if I'm halfway between, I've got more chance of attracting either side over.
That's true.
That's my
that's
plan.
That's why you mentioned it so much.
But it's interesting because I would like to be that. I would like to be a man who's able to save a child from getting smashed in the face with a baseball bat.
Yeah, it's not specific to men, really, is it? I just want, because there's lots of women who have this as well. There's lots of, you know, lots of people who have this instinct where it's just like something happens and like something flies at your head and you catch it, or you like. I have very strange instincts where I flail about, or I'm not. I tap out a lot in my head. I was on the Eurostar yesterday and I was trying to put milk in two teas, and I was so tired that I was tearing open these packets of milk and just squirting the milk into the bin. And this French man was just watching me do it, and I looked up and realised I'd been doing it, and I was so embarrassed, and I thought, that man with the baseball bat would never have done this. And I had to ask for more milk because I'd put it all in the bin. And I guess I want to just be one of those people who sort of seems to be a bit more capable of things.
Yeah.
You know, I want, you know...
I mean, start small. Don't put milk in the bin. I reckon you can manage that.
You'd think, but...
I think just really concentrate next time you have milk and don't put it in the bin.
Yeah. So what a waste
that's
of
a
milk.
Start. Just work your way up gradually to these things. Don't go straight to trying to catch a baseball bat that's flying at a child's head.
No,
don't do that first.
Don't volunteer. We're going to throw this baseball bat at this child's head. Who wants to stop it? I won't put my hand up just yet. But yeah, that's. I think it's interesting, isn't it?
I think it is very interesting.
You know, you see those videos of people being like jump scared and they just punch the person in the face.
Yes.
I want to be that. I want to punch a clown in the face. That's my dream.
I think you can live that dream.
No, I won't do it. If somebody makes me jump, I run. Which is a good instinct, I suppose. It's better than, I don't know, just lying down. But
it's better than punching the clown, because the clown might punch you back, because a clown is still a human being underneath and once punched may punch back.
I suppose.
So running. I think running is a very good instinct.
That's true.
To have. That would be my survival advice.
People tell me that these instincts change when they have children as well.
Yeah.
And so when you would have run, you'd now... I thought I was about to say one of my friends was saying, but I actually think it was an interview with Blake Lively.
Okay.
We're not mates. And she was saying that, like, she previously... If she was walking down the street with... whichever Ryan is her husband, and if something happened, she'd sort of step behind him and let him protect her. But now that they've got a baby, she finds herself putting herself in between the whatever's happening and the baby.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just that if I ever were to have a child, I'd find these instincts within me.
I think if you have a child, run away with the baby. I still think running away is the best.
I think if I have a child, it'll end up in the bin. That sort of thing.
It might do. Don't put a child.
But at least the milk won't be there.
Don't put the child in the bin.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. My son got in the bin the other day, but that's...
That's a laugh, though, isn't it?
That was his
funny.
Own choice.
Yeah, it's a good joke.
It is. It's very... Very funny boy. My daughter got... I do a puppet show on a Thursday evening live on Twitch because I've gone mentally ill through COVID. But my daughter, who's 7...
Did you not hear about the Prickles with Tickle show? I'm so on board.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I'll be tuning
my
in.
My daughter's started coming up and doing the first 5 minutes. She doesn't get... But she's much funnier than I am.
Yeah, I bet.
I said to her this week, I said, you've got to go to bed, because she was interrupting. I said, you've got to go to bed. She said, why? Because you've only got one ball. I can't beat that.
You're like, shit.
I can't
that was my
that.
Opening line.
Oh, so dearie me. So, look, what your current show, are you still mid-tour, right, with your current
mid-tour,
show?
Mid-tour, yeah.
And it's, remind me what it's called.
It's called Lost Boy.
Lost Boy, yes, yeah. Lost Boy. So is that going right through to 2023?
Or yeah, I think it ends in March. I'm doing a show at the Bloomsbury Theatre in March. I feel sort of... I shouldn't mention that in the Leicester Square. It feels like I'm crossing enemy lines.
Yeah.
Also, I was really exciting because for many years I've wondered what the acronym of your podcast actually meant. And now I know.
Now you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Leicester Square thing.
I don't have a curious mind, I don't think. So I could have looked that up, but I kept seeing it.
The number of people who tweet, you go, what does it stand for? And you think, well, you know, you could just Google that,
yeah.
Couldn't you? I mean, I can tell you, but...
But I didn't even do that. I didn't want to know. I think I thought this podcast was called Ruhululu.
Yeah, it is called that.
Yeah.
Well, it changed. When it's not here, it's called different things.
Is it?
Yeah, so I have to think of... That's annoying. Because I've started doing quite a lot of gigs elsewhere, and it's quite hard to come up with something that starts with the letters LST. But I manage, don't I? I'm amazing at it, aren't I? I mean, there's a lot of words that start with LS. Thank you. Someone was really genuinely impressed. Yeah, he's amazing. It's amazing the way he does that. How does he think of three words? It's an amazing guy. It's got fantastic reviews. I think I'll come and see it at the Bloomsbury.
It's the closest. It's the 19th of March.
Okay.
I believe.
Cool.
We'll have to fact check that. But 19th of March, I believe.
Okay, great.
It'd be nice to see you there.
And are you planning to go to the Edinburgh Fringe with a new show, or is it...
I think I'll be there in some capacity. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really decided what I'm going to do, but I'll definitely turn up there at some point.
Great. Yeah. Cool. Look, you've been absolutely fantastic. It's really lovely to meet you.
Thank you. We once stood
in a box together in a theatre, but did not communicate.
No, we didn't.
So it's nice to talk, isn't it? We should have talked then.
You had two balls at that point.
I had two balls, I think. Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I had a
look at you.
I had my ventriloquist dummy with me. And that gig I did, was the Clapham Grand, right?
Yeah.
And it was a sort of in between the lockdowns charity gig. And it was the first time I tried to do something with my ventriloquist dummy on stage, but I hadn't planned anything in it.
I think you might have said that to me, actually.
Yeah, I think I did.
I left and thought, good luck with that.
wasn't great, but it was an old theatre. I think Charlie Chaplin's performed at that theatre. I might be imagining it, but you know, my dummy is 130 years old. It was nice to get him out on stage in an old venue.
How did it go?
Not well.
Oh.
It was pretty bad.
Heard it. It was a tough gig that night, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was sort of weird going back and doing...
Sort of slightly half-empty.
Half-empty theatre.
Table seating and, everybody was afraid. Yeah.
It was a tough time. It's hard to believe it happened now, isn't it? Do you think it was just a dream? This guy's still got his mask on. He remembers.
I'm having this thing at the moment, and this is not me accusing, but every time I see somebody wearing a mask, I start to think, I wonder whether they have COVID.
Yeah.
And they're out and about with COVID. I doubt you do, and you're probably
fine. I mean, he's probably just seriously ill and worried about catching COVID, right?
Yeah, and just looking after yourself.
Probably just terminally ill. No. This is your last time out. Well, I'm going to die pretty soon anyway. Let's go see Rich Herring. I might get COVID.
Will you just stand up at your funeral or just...
It's good to be... No, mate, you're the only sensible person here. All these other people are fucking idiots. Including myself.
It's good to keep
weird, though, isn't it? It's not, you know, weird. It's all right now, isn't it? It doesn't matter. Now it's weird. Oh, it's because we've all had injections. Okay, yeah, sorry. I remember now. Have you had your... I'm old enough to have had my extra booster.
You had your fourth?
Yeah.
Oh, good. No, I've only had three. My last one was, January.
That's why I'm not worried. Though apparently you can die of other things. So do watch out for that. Look, Sarah, do watch out for that. Bring back the Prickles with Tickles show. That's what I want to say.
I'll have a word with my brother and see what he's doing.
I hope your brother finds Robin Hood under a car park in Nottingham.
He's looking. Yeah. He's Ian Prickles are searching.
And really love to see you. Do go and see Lost Boy on tour. Check out Sarah Keyworth's website, and I'm sure you'll find all the details there. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Sarah Keyworth. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with more. Thank you. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sarah Keyworth. Thank you to Scant Regard for playing this music so beautifully for us every time. It sounds the same each time, but it's very subtly different. Do listen out for that. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much to Chris Evans. Not that one or any of the other ones. It's just the one I'm talking about. And everyone at GoFasterStrike.com and all the team here. Thank you very much to the Leicester Square Theatre for having us. And this is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Go to GoFasterStripe.com, buy downloads and books, and you can see videos of these shows sometimes as well for a small fee. GFSBoxOffice.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to RichHerring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.